A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been standing in American retail stores looking at racks of Carhartt and feeling underwhelmed, which I get. He wants one store, one trip, no mall wandering, no Amazon, that covers workwear, outdoor systems, and belt accessories without the quality dropping off. 5 recommendations.
And he's coming at this from the buy it for life angle, which changes the filter. He's not asking where to get a jacket. He's asking where the inventory is built around things that don't die.
Right. The tactical shopper part is key, too. He's making a list, going in and leaving. So the store has to actually stock the good stuff, not just have a website that carries it.
That eliminates about 80% of outdoor retailers immediately. Most of them have become lifestyle brands with a camping section in the back.
Let's start with the obvious one that actually works for this. Scheels.
Scheels is the answer to the question nobody in retail was asking, which is, what if a store had everything and also a Ferris wheel?
I've never understood the Ferris wheel.
It's a draw. It's the thing that gets families in the door. But underneath the gimmick, the actual inventory is shockingly deep. The Washington Post did a whole piece on Scheels last year, calling it the anti-Amazon. Employee-owned, massive footprint, and they carry workwear, outdoor gear, and a genuinely serious selection of belts and accessories.
Employee-owned matters for this conversation more than people think.
It does. When the employees own the company, they actually know what's in the store. You can ask a Scheels employee where the blue Alpha Gear belts are, and they won't look at you like you've asked them to solve a quadratic equation.
Daniel's tactical shopper approach needs that. He's not browsing. He needs someone who can point him to the exact aisle.
And Scheels stocks Carhartt, but also the stuff above Carhartt. They carry brands like Cool, Mountain Hardware, and they've got a workwear section that's actually curated rather than just whatever the distributor sent.
The belt wall is the thing I think Daniel would appreciate most.
It's extensive. They carry everything from basic leatherwork belts to nylon tactical belts with Cobra buckles. And because they're employee-owned, the people working that section tend to be enthusiasts who can talk about load ratings and attachment points.
So Scheels is number one.
Easily. If Daniel's near a Scheels, the conversation's over. But he might not be, so let's keep going.
What about REI?
REI is interesting because it's the co-op model, which I know you've got thoughts on.
I've said before the cooperative model is encouraging but hard to execute. REI's been doing it for decades, though, so they've figured out the mechanics.
The problem with REI for Daniel's specific ask is that they've drifted hard toward the outdoor lifestyle side. Their workwear selection is thin. You'll find some Carhartt and maybe some Dickies, but it's not a workwear destination.
But their belt and accessory game is strong.
They carry Arc'teryx, Patagonia, and their own REI brand stuff that's well made. And they've got a good selection of technical belts with quick-release buckles, which is the EDC crossover.
The issue is the workwear gap. Daniel wants one store that does all three, and REI does two of the three well.
I'd put REI at number two with a caveat. If his workwear needs are light, meaning he needs a couple pairs of durable pants and a jacket, REI can cover that. If he needs actual work clothes for actual work, it's not the spot.
What about the hunting and fishing stores? Bass Pro, Cabela's, Sportsman's Warehouse.
Now we're getting into the meat of it. Bass Pro and Cabela's merged years ago, so they're the same company now. And they carry a surprising amount of workwear because their customer base overlaps heavily with rural workers.
The Cabela's brand stuff is actually decent.
Their house brand work pants hold up. And they've got the Redhead line, which is their hunting brand, but a lot of it crosses over into workwear. Insulated bibs, durable canvas pants, that kind of thing.
Belt selection.
That's where it gets interesting for EDC. Bass Pro carries a lot of gun belt adjacent stuff. Thick leather belts designed to hold holsters, which are functionally identical to what the EDC crowd wants for carrying multi-tools and knives.
So a holster belt is just an EDC belt with a different marketing department.
The load-bearing requirements are the same. A belt that can hold a full-size pistol and spare magazine can hold a multi-tool, a flashlight, and whatever else Daniel's carrying. And Bass Pro stocks those belts in person.
Sportsman's Warehouse is similar, but smaller footprint.
Right. More focused on hunting and fishing, but they carry workwear from brands like Walls and Burn, which are the regional workwear brands that don't get the Carhartt marketing budget but make stuff that lasts just as long.
Walls is underrated.
Massively underrated. They've been making insulated coveralls in Missouri since the 60s. The stuff is built for farmers and ranchers, not for Instagram.
So where do Bass Pro and Sportsman's Warehouse rank?
I put Bass Pro at number 3 because of the sheer size and the belt selection. Sportsman's Warehouse at number 4 as a smaller alternative that still covers the bases.
What about the general sporting goods stores? Dick's, Academy.
Dick's has gone hard into the athletic wear direction. They've got some outdoor stuff, but their workwear section is basically a rack of Carhartt beanies and maybe some work gloves. It's not a destination for what Daniel wants.
Academy's a little different.
Academy is the southern version of this whole category. They carry workwear more seriously because their customer base includes a lot of people who work in construction and agriculture. And they've got the Magellan brand, which is their house outdoor line.
Magellan's quality is hit or miss.
Their fishing shirts are fine. Their pants aren't going to be buy it for life. But Academy does stock Carhartt, Wrangler rigs, and sometimes Ariat work boots, so it's not a total loss.
I'd put Academy at number 5, but with the caveat that it's regional. If Daniel's in the Northeast or the Pacific Northwest, he's not finding one.
Right. Academy is Texas, in the Southeast mostly, so the list is Scheels, REI, Bass Pro, Sportsman's Warehouse, Academy. And honestly, if Scheels is within driving distance, the other 4 don't matter.
That's the thing about this whole category. There's one store that actually does what Daniel's asking, and then there's a bunch of stores that do most of it.
And the reason Scheels works is that they made a conscious decision to be everything. The Ferris wheel is silly, but it's a signal. They want you to spend the whole day there. They want the inventory depth to justify that.
Daniel doesn't want to spend the whole day there, though. He wants to get in and get out.
And that's the tension. The stores with the best inventory are also the stores designed to make you wander. Scheels is enormous. You could spend 2 hours in a Scheels and not see half of it.
But a tactical shopper can handle that. He's got a list. He goes to the workwear section, the outdoor section, the belt wall, and he's done.
The belt wall is really the differentiator. Most stores have a rack of belts. Scheels has a wall. Bass Pro has a gun belt section. REI has a technical belt display. Those are the 3 stores where the EDC belt thing is actually taken seriously.
Let's talk about the belts themselves for a second, because Daniel mentioned EDC carry belts and MOLLE systems, specifically.
The EDC belt world has exploded in the last 5 years. Blue Alpha Gear, which I mentioned earlier, started as a small shop making nylon belts with Cobra buckles, and now they're a major player. The key thing about a real EDC belt is rigidity. It's not just a strap that holds your pants up, it's a platform.
A platform.
Yeah. A stiff nylon belt with a Cobra buckle can support the weight of a holster, a multi-tool, a flashlight, and whatever else without sagging. A regular leather belt starts to droop the second you put real weight on it.
And the MOLLE systems.
MOLLE is the modular webbing system the military uses. It lets you attach pouches and accessories to a belt or a vest. The civilian EDC crowd has adopted it for things like phone holsters, knife sheaths, and magazine pouches.
So Daniel's not just looking for a belt. He's looking for a belt that's part of a system.
Right. And that changes the retail question. A store that sells MOLLE-compatible pouches and belts is a different store than one that sells a leather belt and calls it a day.
Which brings us back to Bass Pro and Scheels, because those are the stores that understand the system approach.
Bass Pro especially. The hunting market has been doing load-bearing belts and modular attachment systems for decades. The EDC crowd basically borrowed the whole concept from hunting gear.
So an EDC belt is just a hunting belt with a different color palette.
And usually a lower profile. Hunting belts tend to be wide and padded. EDC belts are narrower and designed to be worn under an untucked shirt. But the engineering is the same.
Daniel mentioned he's been underwhelmed by Carhartt's retail selection. I want to dig into that.
Carhartt's retail stores are a mixed bag. The mainline Carhartt stores carry the workwear, but they've also got the Carhartt whip line, which is the streetwear version. And the ratio of whip to actual workwear varies a lot by location.
So we might walk into a Carhartt store expecting work pants and find a bunch of hoodies that cost twice as much.
The whip line is fine for what it is, but it's not buy it for life workwear. It's fashion. And the actual workwear selection in the stores has been shrinking because the fashion side has better margins.
L.L. Bean's got a similar problem.
L.L. Bean has drifted toward the catalog lifestyle. Their bean boots are still made in Maine and still last forever, but the rest of the inventory has gotten softer. More fleece, less canvas.
The classic trap. A brand gets a reputation for durability, then realizes they can sell more stuff by making it slightly less durable and slightly more fashionable.
And the buy-it-for-life crowd notices immediately. That's why Daniel's underwhelmed. He's walking into stores that used to be workwear destinations and finding lifestyle brands.
So the solution is to go to stores that still serve the actual working customer.
Which is why Scheels and Bass Pro work. Their customer base includes people who actually need the clothes to hold up. Hunters, farmers, construction workers. If the inventory gets soft, those customers leave.
Let's talk about the in-person requirement, because that's a real constraint.
It's a good constraint, honestly. Buying workwear online is a gamble. Sizing varies wildly between brands. A Carhartt large isn't a Cool large, isn't a Walls large.
And EDC belts especially need to be tried on. The stiffness matters, the buckle mechanism matters, the width matters.
Right? A Cobra buckle is a specific feel. You either like it or you don't, and you can't know that from a product photo.
So Daniel's instinct to go in person is correct. The question is just which store?
And the answer is, if there's a Scheels within an hour, that's the trip. If not, Bass Pro is the next best bet. REI if the workwear needs are light. Sportsman's Warehouse if he's in the Mountain West. Academy if he's in the South.
What about Tractor Supply?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even put on the list. Tractor Supply carries a lot of workwear, and their house brands are actually decent. But their belt selection is mostly basic leatherwork belts, not EDC stuff.
So it covers the workwear, but not the system accessories.
Right. And their outdoor section is more farm supply than outdoor recreation. It's a different customer.
Daniel said he doesn't want to visit multiple stores, so Tractor Supply would be a workwear stop, but not a complete solution.
If he's in a rural area, Tractor Supply plus a Bass Pro might be the move. But that's two stops, which he explicitly doesn't want.
Let's circle back to the Molly thing, because I think there's a misconception lurking.
The misconception that Mall is only for tactical cosplay.
People hear Mall and think of someone in full camouflage with a plate carrier. But the actual utility is just modular storage. You can attach a pouch for your phone, a sheath for a knife, a holster for a multi-tool, and take them off when you don't need them.
It's the same concept as a tool belt, just with a different attachment system. A carpenter's tool belt is modular storage. Molly is just the nylon version.
And the stores that sell Molly stuff are the stores that understand work.
Bass Pro has a whole section of Molly-compatible pouches. Scheels does too. REI has some, but it's more backpacking-oriented. The military surplus stores are actually the best for Molly, but those are hit or miss in terms of quality and selection.
Military surplus is a whole other conversation. Some of it's genuine mil-spec gear that'll last forever, and some of it's cheap imported knockoffs.
And you never know which until you've handled it, which is another argument for the in-person approach.
So Daniel's list is Scheels, Bass Pro, REI, Sportsman's Warehouse, Academy. And the honest take is that Scheels is the only one that fully nails all three categories.
The other four are compromises. Bass Pro nails belts and workwear, but the outdoor side is hunting-focused. REI nails outdoor and belts, but the workwear is thin. Sportsman's Warehouse is a smaller Bass Pro. Academy is a southern REI with more workwear.
And the quality issue with Carhartt and L.L. Bean is real. The brands aren't what they were.
Carhartt's mainline workwear is still good. The duck canvas jackets and the double front pants are still built to last. But the retail stores don't stock the full range anymore, and the whip line dilutes the brand.
L.L. Bean's the same story. The bean boot is still a buy-it-for-life item, but the rest of the catalog has gotten soft.
The lesson is that brands can coast on reputation for a long time. The stores that still serve working customers are the ones that can't afford to coast.
Because their customers will just go somewhere else.
A farmer who needs insulated coveralls doesn't care about brand heritage. He cares that the seams don't blow out in January.
Daniel's approach is actually the right one. Make a list, go to one store, buy the stuff that's actually built to last. The only question is, which store?
And now, he's got five answers.
I want to hit one more thing before we move on. The EDC build brands themselves.
Blue Alpha Gear is the big one. They started as a small operation making belts in a garage, and now they're the standard recommendation in the EDC community. Their low-profile EDC belt is the one most people start with.
What makes it different from a regular nylon belt?
The stiffness. It's made from two layers of nylon webbing laminated together so it doesn't fold or sag under weight. And the Cobra buckle is a genuine Austri-Alpin buckle, which is the same buckle used in climbing and military applications.
So the buckle alone is a buy-it-for-life component.
The buckle will outlast the webbing, and the webbing will outlast most people's interest in the belt. It's a 10-year item, minimum.
And these are the belts that Shields and Bass Pro are starting to stock.
Shields has been carrying Blue Alpha Gear for a while now. Bass Pro has their own equivalents. REI has Arc'teryx and Patagonia technical belts, which are similar in concept but more lightweight.
The Arc'teryx conveyor belt is the one I see everywhere.
It's a good belt. Not as stiff as a Blue Alpha Gear, but well-made and the buckle is solid. For someone who's not carrying a lot of weight, it's perfectly fine.
Daniel mentioned integrated systems, so he's probably carrying enough weight to justify the stiffer belt.
Then, Blue Alpha Gear or something similar is the move, and he can try those on at Shields or Bass Pro.
Let's talk about the workwear brands that are actually worth buying right now, because Carhartt's not the only game in town.
Walls and Burn are the two I mentioned earlier. Both make insulated workwear that's designed for actual outdoor work in cold weather. The stuff is ugly in the best way. It's not trying to be fashionable.
Ugly in the best way is the highest compliment for workwear.
It means the design budget went into the stitching and the insulation, not the color palette. Walls has been making the same insulated bib overalls since before I was born, and they still make them the same way.
What about the newer brands? The ones that popped up in the last decade or so?
There's a whole category of what I'd call workwear adjacent brands. 1620, Workwear, Truework, that kind of thing. They're making technical work pants with stretch fabric and articulated knees. Good stuff, but expensive and mostly online only.
So not helpful for Daniel's in-person requirement.
Right. 1620 makes a great pant, but you're ordering it from their website and hoping the sizing works. Same with Truework. The in-person requirement eliminates most of the newer brands.
Which is fine, because the older brands are still making the good stuff.
The older brands are the buy-it-for-life brands. They've been making the same products for decades, and the products are still good because the customers are still buying them.
There's a survivorship bias there, but it's earned. If a work pant design has been in production for 40 years, it's because it works.
The Carhartt Double Front Duck Pant is the classic example. It's been in production since the 30s. The design hasn't changed because it doesn't need to.
And that's the thing Daniel should look for. Not the new hotness, but the stuff that's been in production forever. Because it works.
The bifold movement is really just the rediscovery of that principle. Buy the thing that hasn't changed because it doesn't need to change.
Let's get Hilbert in here. He's been quiet back there.
I think he's been listening to the whole thing.
I had this exact conversation in 1994. Different products, same question. I was working at a hardware store in Duluth, and a guy came in asking for one store that sold work clothes, hunting gear, and belts. Just one store. He didn't want to drive all over town.
What did you tell him?
Told him to go to Mills Fleet Farm. It's still there. Still sells all three. The belts are in the back near the gun counter.
Fleet Farm is a good answer. I didn't even think of it.
Most people don't. It's not flashy, but the workwear section is real. Walls, Burn, Carhartt, before Carhartt got fancy. And the belt rack has load-bearing belts because the customers carry things.
So the same answer we've been circling, just 30 years earlier.
The question doesn't change because the products don't change. A good work pant is a good work pant. A stiff belt is a stiff belt. The stores that sell them are the stores that sell to people who need them.
Fleet Farm is a Midwest thing, though. If Daniel's on the coast, he's out of luck.
Then he goes to the equivalent. Every region has one. The South has Academy. The Mountain West has Sportsman's. The Northeast has, I don't know, some place that sells flannel and axes.
The Northeast has L.L. Bean, which is the problem Daniel's already identified.
L.L. Bean used to be the answer. My brother-in-law bought a pair of their boots in 1988 and wore them until 2009. Then he bought another pair, and the sole came off in 6 months.
The classic quality decline.
It's not a decline, it's a decision. They decided to sell to people who wanted the idea of the boots more than the boots.
That's the whole thing in one sentence.
Anyway, the guy in Duluth bought a pair of Walls coveralls and a leather belt from the gun counter. I saw him 3 years later, same coveralls, same belt. He said the belt was the best one he'd ever owned.
A leather gun belt will do that. They're built to hold weight, so they don't stretch out.
That's the thing about leather. Good leather gets better with age. Bad leather falls apart. The difference is whether it was made to hold a holster or made to hold up a pair of khakis.
Daniel's EDC belts are the nylon version of the same principle. Stiff, load-bearing, built to last.
Nylon's fine. I still prefer leather. But the principle's the same. Buy the thing built for the hardest use case, and it'll handle everything else.
That's actually the whole episode in one line. Buy the thing built for the hardest use case.
I've got to get home. My neighbor's dog got into my garage again.
The same neighbor's dog?
Different neighbor. Same dog.
I don't know how that works.
It's a long story. The dog's name is Biscuit.
Of course it is.
The misconception I want to close out is the idea that Carhartt and L.L. Bean are still the default answers for durable goods. They're not. They're the most famous answers, but fame and durability have diverged.
The correction is that the stores still serving working customers are the ones with the real inventory. Scheels, Bass Pro, Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse. Those are the places where the stuff is actually built to last.
And for Daniel specifically, if there's a Scheels within driving distance, that's the trip. One store, all three categories, quality that holds up. If not, Bass Pro is the next best thing, and the others fill in depending on region.
The open question is whether the Buy It For Life movement can actually change retail. If enough people like Daniel start demanding real durability, do the big brands notice?
They notice when sales drop. The problem is that the fashion side is more profitable, so the incentive is always to drift toward fashion.
So the answer is to keep buying the ugly stuff from the stores that serve farmers and hunters.
The ugly stuff is where the quality lives.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and for the Fleet Farm recommendation.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.